Title of my remarks this morning is, Y'all Come Now. I've read this verse a bajillion times probably, and I may have even talked about it before, but I just felt like it was something we needed to visit about again a little bit. It's the verse that says, Come, all you guys who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And I think I want to talk about three aspects of that. It's such a great offer. And just think about that offer. And as we go through it, I hope it becomes a little more clear, but it is this great offer. And so what we're going to talk about is who the offer is made to. And secondly, we're going to talk about what is the offer. And then thirdly, we'll talk about why take the offer. And I'm just going to give you a few thoughts about it. I'm not going to try to go into anything real deep or profound. I just want to encourage you. I think this is such a basic understanding that we all need to have about the Lord and about our relationship with Him. It's very important. So we'll talk about it, and then I hope you'll go home and you'll continue to ask the Lord to reveal to you how we're supposed to be relating to God and to one another. That's really what this passage is talking about. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. I thank you that you want to speak to us through your word, and we invite you now to do that. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear and give me the words to share, Lord, that would be from your heart to your people. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I thought it was interesting. The Bible talks about oxen a lot, and I always wondered, I thought oxen were something special. And they really were. There was a particular breed of cattle. They're in the bovine family, for all you bovine aficionados. So that's all the different types of cows or cattle. And oxen, ancient cattle, there really was a variety that was an ox that is different than what we see today. But in the technical sense today, when you say someone has an ox or a team of oxen, what they really are meaning is that they have two bulls that have been fixed. Ouch, I really hate that part, you know? But you have these two bulls that are basically, they have been bred and taught and trained their whole lives to do work. I watched a little video, actually a couple of them. One was hitching up a team of oxen, and I thought this was really interesting. This guy, he's got these two, they're 1,000, 2,000 pounds apiece. By the way, they said the heaviest team of oxen in record was right at 10,000 pounds. Total for the two of them. I mean, those are some big animals. So this guy, he's got these two oxen. They're standing at a hitching post. I don't think they were hitched up. They were just standing there. And he was talking to them, and he had this little, like a little pointer, and he would tap them. He'd say something to them, and they'd just kind of move over a little bit, and then he'd tap on their shoulders, and then he'd walk around, he'd tap on the other one, it would move over a little bit, and he got them just right, and he laid this yoke across their shoulders. And the yoke, it's a big wooden thing, and, it's straight on top, but the underside has a little curved place to fit on their neck, and then there's a straight place with a big hook kind of thing you can hook to the load. Anyway, set it on there, and it all fit right, and then he sticks this big U-shaped thing up through there, and he fastens it, and so the oxen, they're all set, And then I watched another video, and it was showing the oxen actually competing. They use oxen for plowing and doing real labor. Used to, they did everything that way. Now we got tractors, but people still have oxen. But I think it may be for real small-scale farms. And then, obviously, they have these competitions at fairs and things like that. So they have these team of oxen, and they put a sled behind them. They hook them up to the sled, and they set all these big concrete blocks on there. I mean, like tons of stuff. And then, they're all set, and it's like, okay, and the guy's talking to them, and they all start, trying to, and it was really interesting because the biggest oxen were not always the strongest or the best. And, I mean, if they get out of step, one of them would stumble, and they'd fall, and the sled would get all cattywampus, and it wouldn't do right. But this one pair of oxen, I mean, they had them trained, and when the guy said go, they both started with the same leg. It was like, you know, and they were just right in step, and they were, I mean, just going, you know, and they started building up speed, and they just kept going. And it's really indicative what this verse is talking to us about, because if you get out of step, if you got an uneven load, if you got the yoke that doesn't fit right, if you got one ox that's way bigger than the other, you know, they're all cattywampus. I saw a picture of an ox and a donkey hooked up, and, you know, that doesn't work. So there's a lot to be said for being fitted properly in this yoke. So the offer, all who labor and are heavy laden. Now, I'm in construction my whole life. That's all I've ever done, basically, other than teaching and preaching when I get the chance. But we're in the concrete business, and it's physical labor. And in our office, I have a coworker who is like me. He's been in this all of his life. Well, we work in the office now. We don't work on job sites with our hands anymore. But 20 or 30 years ago, we did do some jobs together. You know, construction workers, they can be kind of rude and crude sometimes. And so we did a side job. Brian Holmes is this guy's name, and he's been working for 35 years. We're good friends, and we've done a lot of things together. He came when I was ordained and supported me. And anyway, so we did this side job, and I said, okay, Brian, I'm going to be the laborer. I'm going to let you do all the skill stuff, and I'm just going to be your laborer. Now, I try not to think of myself more highly than I ought to, but I'm a pretty good hand. I mean, if I wanted to go out and help someone do something that I didn't know anything about, I think in just a few minutes I could kind of figure out what I need to do to be a good helper. You know, you begin to see what they're doing, what tools they need, how they're doing it, and you start making yourself, you know, I can even wrangle donkeys, you know, and I don't know anything about it, but Miss could testify. So anyway, Brian and I are out there on this job, and we were going to set some forms or something, and he was, you know, doing something, and he hollered out, labor, you know, and wow, you know, I went running over there, you know, it's like, okay, you know, and ever since then, every time I read this verse, I can't help but think about that, because, I mean, I was intimidated, and because I didn't want him waiting on me. He called for a laborer. That meant I needed to be there and he'd do what he's calling me to do. And that's really what God is doing. You know, he's calling us to join with him. He even calls us his co-laborers, co-workers. He's calling for us. And he might not say, labor, but he's saying, labor, come. And he's not ugly about it, and he's not rude and crude, but he's calling us all. So that's who the offer is to. It's to everyone who labors and is heavy laden. Now, Jesus told a story about a servant. He said, now this servant, he works out in the field all day. He comes in, he's hot and tired, and man, he's thirsty and ready to eat, but he doesn't feed himself. First thing is he takes care of his master. He helps his master get his food, and he gets to make sure he's got all that he needs to drink, and he's got him all taken care of. After his master is completely through, then he goes and fixes himself something to eat and drink. And after all that, the servant says about himself, I just did what was expected of me. I'm really an unworthy servant. I just did the bare minimum. So that's really how we ought to view all this. As we walk with the Lord and as we do things for the Lord, you know, it's not like we're doing it because we're going to get a pat on the back. We're not doing it because we want to be seen by men. Well, let me just say this. If you're doing it to be seen by men, that is your reward. Whatever you get, that's it. But if you do things as unto the Lord, then he can take that and use it and bless it, and you'll be blessed, and you'll have a lot of joy. And serving is not difficult if your heart's right. But you have to get the right kind of a heart. So it's really hard to serve the Lord if you're not a believer. I've heard that said before, that living a Christian life is the hardest thing in the world to do if you're not a Christian. And, you know, that's really, it's obvious, but on the other hand, a lot of people think they can do this stuff, they can work their way into heaven, they can, you know, and it doesn't happen like that. You can't live good enough, and you can't do all that you need to do in your own strength. It has to be through the Lord. So everybody's got the call. It says, all who are heavy laden, everyone works, everyone is carrying a load. You know, we prayed. I know everyone that comes in on Sunday morning, you're all carrying a load of some variety. Sometimes it may be just a little minor distraction. Other times it may be, you know, almost life or death for someone that you love and care about. And so the offer, Jesus is saying, come, all you guys who labored or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That applies to everybody. There's another verse that we quote a lot of times. Many are called, but few are chosen. They used to say many are cold and a few are frozen, but many are called, but a few are chosen. So what it's really all about is that God puts this offer out for everybody. He says, all you who labor and heavy laden, come. But a few of us say yes. And when we say yes, then he says, okay, babe, boom, I'm choosing you because you're going to be my guy. I'm going to give you everything that the kingdom of heaven has. I'm going to put it at your disposal, and I'm going to equip you to do the work that I've called you to do. I am choosing you because you chose me. Now, you could go into all kinds of predestination stuff if you wanted to, but I don't want to go there. I believe that God says, I know everything about every one of you from the beginning of time, and I know what you're going to choose, and when you choose it, boom, I'm going to choose you. So that's my view about predestination. We're predestined to something really good, but at some point, if you just keep resisting, you're not going to experience all that really good stuff. So, you know, that's the part we play. You don't earn salvation, you don't earn anything in the kingdom of God, but you do have to say yes. If he says come, if you don't come, sorry, you're not going to get what he's offering. That's real simple. So what is the offer? Take the yoke. Take the yoke. In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus talks about the truth. And he says, the truth will set you free and you'll be free indeed. Take the yoke. Now, this little video I saw about those oxen standing there and that guy lining them up for the yoke, you know, they weren't being resistant. And that struck me because sometimes, you know, you see people that God is dealing with and you know God's dealing with them, and instead of just, you know, moving over and getting lined up with the yoke, they're like, whoa, you know, and they're resisting and they're fighting back, and they're not willing to take the yoke. You have to be willing to receive the yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Now, the thing about his yoke is it's a really cool yoke. It's not like the wooden yoke. It's like this miraculous, expanding, contracting, ever-changing yoke that one size fits all. And as long as you're yoked up in the Lord, that yoke is always going to be just right. Like the little Goldilocks story, you know, this one is just right. If you're not willing to take the yoke, then you don't get the benefit of the yoke. So the reason that you take the yoke is because it helps everything that we're doing. And he wants us to learn his ways. In John 1:12, it says that we are his children. It says, as many as received him, he gave the power or the right to become the sons of God, to as many as received him. Now, and then it goes on in John 10, it talks about us hearing his voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. So the whole point of this is that we're supposed to get fitted with this yoke because it keeps us in alignment with him and with one another in the body. Because if you're yoked up to Jesus, then you're yoked up to everybody else that's yoked up to Jesus. It kind of connects us all in a way where we're walking step for step right in line. We're not getting ahead of each other. We're not bucking. Just walking step by step by step. And that's really important. It's important that we do that with the Lord. Moses, he said, if your presence doesn't go, I'm not going. If your presence doesn't go before me, I'm not going. And God said, okay, fine, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you this pillar of cloud in the day. I'm going to give you a pillar of fire at night. And every time you see the pillar move, that's when it's time to move. It's real clear. They knew when to move. And they also knew when to stay. And they knew that because they could see it. Well, we don't see a pillar of fire or a pillar of cloud, but we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and he's talking to us, and God's word is talking to us. So all the time, we can still walk with the Lord and not get out of step, not buck up, rear up about the yoke. We can walk with the Lord the way they were supposed to. One thing that actually kind of stood out to me differently this time when I read this is that in Hebrews chapter 4, there's a passage I want to read to you, but it says, if you take his yoke upon you, you will find rest for your souls. Now, we all have to do work. And even if you get yoked up with the Lord like we're talking about, you're still going to have to do work. You're going to have to work at your job. You're going to have to work with your family. You're going to have to work with your children. You're going to have to work for the Lord. There's all types of areas where you will still have to work. He didn't say, I'm going to take away your work. He said, I'm going to give you rest to your souls. So what that means to me is that I can now walk with the Lord, right in step with him, and I can be working my fingers to the bone, and still I can be walking in joy. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, I can be walking in love. I can be walking in peace. I can be walking in all the good stuff, even though I'm working like a dog. Because it's all about your heart and your mind. See, if you think, boy, am I working like a dog, that's the way you're going to feel. If you think, man, isn't God good? I'm just doing the very basic minimum stuff I'm supposed to do because, remember, I'm an unfaithful servant. I'm an unworthy servant. I'm just doing the bare minimum. But the thing is, when you begin to serve that way, God changes your heart, and then you don't feel like you're working like a dog. You feel like you're walking with a king. You begin to feel like everything is different. It changes everything about your perspective. Life doesn't change, maybe, but your perspective changes. And when your perspective changes, then everything is better. Everything is better. Now, I can tell you, sometimes serving and doing stuff, it can wear you down. And if you have the wrong attitude, you know, you can get a little bent out of shape and someone say, you know, would you mind doing this? And it's like, well, I've been doing stuff all day. You know, I don't want to do that. But you can also just say, yeah, I'll be happy to do that for you. I love you. I want to help you. I want to do my job. I want to be the very best at what I do. Let me help you with that. That's what God's saying. He's saying, come, get yoked up with me. Let's get in step and let's walk together. Let's work together. Do the things that I've called you to do. We should take the offer because his yoke is easy. It's well suited. You know, that's what that means. My yoke is easy. It means it's well suited to you. I may have to get me one of those wooden yokes and just put it around my neck. It'd be kind of troublesome wearing with a shirt and stuff, but every time you look in the mirror, it'd be a reminder, you know, that I got a yoke on. Hey, look at there, I got a yoke. But, you know, it's important, though, that we realize that we are in a yoke all the time, or at least we're supposed to be. If you go look in the mirror and the yoke's not there, you'd be saying, hey, where's my yoke? You know, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. In John, 1 John 5:3, it says his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. Doing what God says is not a burden. You know, they used to say the old saying, you know, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. Well, doing what God has called you to do is not burdensome. Unless you got a bad attitude. If you're having some kind of an attitude, then even the simplest things can become a problem for you. But serving God is not burdensome. You know, if you share a burden, like this team of oxen, two of them working together, they can pull a really heavy load, twice as much probably as one could pull by himself. And when they share that load, neither one of them is having to work as hard because they're working in unison and they're helping each other. So a burden shared is basically cut in half. A sorrow shared is cut in half. A problem shared can be cut in half. But here's the cool thing. A joy shared is multiplied. You share something good, and then that same thing, instead of cutting it in half, now it's doubled. So that's the reason that we need to take his yoke upon us, because everything we do, we'll be walking in step with him. Everything we do will be sharing a burden. He says, my burden is easy. It's light. You know, I mean, there's no problem. Just come, let me help you with it. Whatever you're carrying, God wants to help carry that. He wants to help carry your burden, and he wants to let you know that his yoke is easy. It fits everyone. One size fits all. And so when you're a young believer, maybe you've got a yoke that fits you one way. As you become more mature, you got a different kind of a yoke. And the way that you walk with people, maybe there are people that grate you a little bit. And maybe you're troubled by thinking, I don't want to be yoked up to them. You're not really yoked up to them. You're yoked up to the Lord. And those are part of the body. And so we're all interconnected. But if you're not depending on that other person, you're depending on the Lord. And the Lord is the connection. We've all, as believers, we've all got the same blood flowing through our veins. And it's the blood of the Lamb. Because we are related. I mean, we are connected. And that's what we're all working towards, is learning to love one another and support one another and learning to walk with the Lord. If you walk with the Lord, you'll find that no matter how much you do, it won't be burdensome unless you're having a bad attitude. And I've had a few attitudes in my life. And, it kind of messes everything up. When you start thinking the wrong kind of thoughts and you start going down the wrong paths with your mindset about stuff, even the things that you enjoy can become troublesome and burdening down to you. And we just need to avoid that. Having a yoke is not a bad thing. But most people, they resist because just the very mention of it is, I don't want that thing on my neck. I'm not agreeing to that. Yeah. I'm not agreeing to that. I want to be free. I want to be free. I want to be me. God says, I want you to be like me. And the only way you can do that is if you get yoked up to him so that you're walking with him step by step, every day, all day long, and you're hearing his voice, and you're realizing that his commandments are not burdensome. Because his commandments are so simple. Just love me. Love one another. That's not really that difficult. And he even says, I'll give you my love so that you can do that. Worship team, y'all come on back up. I'm basically through. We're gonna share communion here in a second, and this is one of the ways that we can relate to the Lord. You know, we've been talking about taking his yoke upon us. And that's a way of relating to the Lord. And Jesus, he gave a lot of different examples about how we relate to him. You know, he said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. He said, I'm the living bread. I'm the living water. You know, I'm the word made flesh walking among you. Jesus, he wants us to be able to relate to him, and he gives us all these different examples and illustrations so that we'll find ways that we can say, yeah, that's how God wants to relate to me. He wants to relate to you whether you're a farmer or a cattle rancher or a concrete guy or whatever it might be, an engineer or a stay-at-home mom. He wants to relate to you. And the reason he wants to relate to you is because he wants you to be able to walk in all of his fullness and strength and blessing. And if you're not willing to receive that, then basically you're just saying, I want to pull the whole load all the time by myself, and I'm just going to do the best I can, just get whatever I get. And I'm here to tell you, you're not going to get the good stuff if that's your attitude. So communion is one of the ways that we can relate to the Lord, relate to what he's done for us. He tells us to do it in remembrance of him. And he said, as long as you do this, you're celebrating my death, burial, and resurrection until I come. So it's a really cool thing that he's given us, because every time we do this, it's a reminder of his sacrifice, what he did for us, and how we can relate to that. So he is the living bread, and he is the living water, and he turned the water into wine, and it's his blood, it is the blood of the new covenant. All of that is a way of us saying, Lord, I'm signing up. I'm stepping up to that hitching post, and I'm going to listen to your voice, and I'm going to get lined up for that yoke, and I want to get fitted for that yoke. And yes, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to work right step by step with you, because I know your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So as we celebrate communion this morning, what I would like for you to do as we worship, just come get your stuff, take it back with you. We'll all partake together. But begin to think about the fact that God wants us to remember what Jesus did, and it's through what Jesus did at the cross that we receive everything that we need spiritually. If you need any kind of physical touch, you need a touch in your financial situation, you need a relationship that's broken, whatever's going on in your life that you need an answer to a prayer, this is a point where you can say, okay, Lord, right here, you've provided for me, and I'm receiving this, and I'm agreeing that your provision is enough. His provision is always enough. So let's stand, and as we worship, come get your elements, take them back, and we'll take them together here in a minute.
The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty, radiant so perfect love, now shine. I'll be
Hallelujah. How many of you would like a little rest for your souls this morning? Amen. Sound like a pretty good offer to me. So Jesus met with his disciples that night. He took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And if we take and eat his body, we are partaking of his resurrection power, of his life. It will begin to make us alive. That we just sang that. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Lord, we thank you that you paid the ultimate price. Your body was given for us so that we can partake of your life, an endless life, a life that cannot fail, that never changes. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's your provision, Lord, that we celebrate today. We partake of your body because in your body we have life and health and wholeness and strength, joy and peace and love and all the things that we need in this life. It's in you. And we partake of that, and we celebrate your death. So let's break it together and receive it. Also says in the same way, he took the cup, and he said, "Drink all of it. All of you, drink of it. Drink it all. There's no halfway. There's no partway. It's all or nothing with the Lord. No, you can't come to Jesus and say, 'I sort of want you.' You can't come to him and say, 'I'll give you most of my life.' You can't come to him and say, 'Forgive me of this sin, but I'm not quite ready to give this one up yet.' He wants us to say, 'Take me. I'm coming to you, Lord, to receive that yoke. I'm standing at the hitching post. I'm getting lined up. I'm getting fitted. I'm ready. I want to be yoked up to you, Lord.' This is the blood of the new covenant. My blood, Jesus said, which was shed for you for the remission of sins. My blood, which is the life that will give you life. In the new covenant, we have everything that we need, every area of our lives. And so, Lord, we receive that this morning. We thank you that you shed your blood. It wasn't taken from you. You gave it willingly because of your great love for us. And so, Lord, we receive your life, your blood, and we say we receive your yoke, your covenant. We walk it out in Jesus' name. Let's take together.
I thirst for you like a desert. I'm dry and you, and my heart is in need of you now more than before. And I dream of you if your presence were all I need. I'd need nothing. My heart here and say, wash me away, wash me away. I'm blood in my soul, take all that is old, make me new today. Oh, my love, till I'm not satisfied. In this life. I thirst for you. Like a desert, I'm dry and new, and my heart is in need of you. How more than before. And I dream of you, and if your presence were all I knew, I'd need nothing.
Thank you, Lord, that you've made such a wonderful offer to us, that all who labor and are heavy laden can come to you and find rest for our souls. Lord, we need you this morning. We need you. I pray that you speak to every person here, Lord, that everyone would go out of here hearing your voice saying, come. Come and find rest for your soul. Come and find what you need. Come and get fitted so I can share in every part of your life, walking step by step. Thank you, Lord, for so much that you do for us. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be blessed. If you have a prayer need, someone will meet you here at the altar. And otherwise, enjoy some fellowship. Don't forget all the things we're doing this week. Sign up for some CDs. Amen? All right. Bless you.